Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity, the leading podcast for residential service contractors, sponsored by Service Roundtable and hosted by David Heimer.
Hi, this is David Heimer. Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity. I'm really delighted to have Aaron Ruddick with us today. Aaron is a 30-year veteran of the HVAC industry. He's been in business for himself for 18 years as founder and co-owner of Reliable Comfort in Columbus and Seymour, Indiana. Couple personal items. Aaron has been married for 26 years. He and his wife have four daughters. And on some weekends, Aaron is a preacher. Now, you might think that HVAC and preaching are unrelated, but I think of it this way. In HVAC, Aaron keeps people away from the heat of the sun, and from the pulpit, he keeps them away from the heat of hell. So it's all related. Is that the way that works, Aaron?
That would be one way to put it. Yeah, I do enjoy preaching from time to time. I preach 6 to 10 times a year at the local congregation that I'm a part of, and it really helps me to just stay grounded. I learn so much when I do it.
So, Aaron, welcome to Profiles in Prosperity, and I was wondering, to start this off, would you just tell us how you got into the industry?
Oh, man, it wound up kind of by a fluke. I really graduated with high school not having any clue what I wanted to do. Knew I wasn't going to be a college attendee, and was sitting at home one night and saw an ad for heating and air conditioning. And the interesting thing is it showed a commercial with a guy in a long white coat and a hard hat and a clipboard. And I thought, that seems like a pretty good job. So I went to tech school for a year, graduated from tech school, and got my first job in 1989. And the guy handed me a roll of duct tape and said, crawl under that house and tape those pipes. And I was a little confused at where my clipboard and robe was, but, you know, that started me into this 30-year journey.
Well, at some point, you decided to start your own business, and how did that happen?
The funny thing is I worked for him for 3 months. It was a little small father and son company, and he hired two kids, me and another 18-year-old, and we were not very good. And he fired me after 3 months. And so then I went to another place and was there 6 months, and that guy went bankrupt. And then I found a home with a small family-owned company named Doman Heating and Air Conditioning and really liked it. The old man there had a great way of teaching and helping us learn stuff. And he threw us into about everything you could imagine. And he taught us how to treat people. Unfortunately, his health and, you know, market, he wound up selling to a national consolidator, and they taught us how to make money. But they weren't as ethical as the old man was. So in 2001, we said there's got to be room for people that know how to treat people well and make money. So Reliable Comfort was born in the living room of my brother's house in August of 2001.
You started this off with both your brothers, right? I mean, at some point in time, if I remember correctly, you and two brothers were co-owners with each of you having a third share. Is that right?
That's correct. We started with, we say, three brothers in a van. It's kind of how we started. And then the three of us owned it up until about 18 months ago. The youngest brother decided he wanted to leave. And so then me and Andy bought out Adam in 2018.
I remember when I first met you and you told me that you had two brothers in the business. And when partnerships are difficult, sometimes family relationships in business are difficult. And each of you owned a third of the business, which to me made me think that that sounded like kind of a scary proposition. And then you told me about the mechanism that you used for making decisions, how you would vote on things. Can you explain that?
Yeah, I definitely can. We always looked at it as we wanted to do what was in the best interest of the company. And so when we had a big decision that had to be made, you know, we took a vote. It was a majority rule. And so let's say we was going to buy a vehicle or a building or do something that was a significant amount of money, then we would discuss the pros and cons of it, and then we would vote. And if it came up two yeses and one no, we would always give the person that was against it 15 to 20 minutes to plead a case on why they said no, why this is a bad idea, and why we shouldn't do it. And then we would vote again. And the rule that we had was second vote always wins. So if they swayed one person to say, that's not a great idea, we're not going to do that, then we would just say no. And what we found is over the years, that helped us to make some good decisions and kept us away from some decisions that we thought may have been a problem, but it let us slow down and grow slower.
The other part of that that I think I remember was once this final vote was cast, it was a done deal, and whoever lost that vote was not allowed to continue complaining about it or point out, I told you so, or all that. They had to be all in and go along with the vote. Was that right?
Yeah, that's correct. We always went at it as this is the way we're moving forward. And then a lot of times the thing that we were split voted against, we would table it and it would come up later. And then if we were in a financial position to do it, we would, or we would morph it to where it would fit into the business at some later time. But yeah, it was never a hard feelings. I mean, although we are physical blood brothers, which all the emotion and passion that comes with that, we've always got along really well. There's never been any fist fights or any major catastrophes that have came from us making decisions together.
Tell me about Reliable Comfort now.
Well, what we've done is over the years, we grew from those three. We had an electric division at one time. We've been as many as 28 team members, but right now we're about 20. We don't do electric anymore. We're straight HVAC, and we've had pretty continual steady growth. Last year, we clipped our first time at $3 million. We did $3 million in revenue and just have went through a kind of a steady progression, focusing on adding maintenance agreements. We have 1,600 maintenance agreements now. We have about 5,000 steady customers and an organization that tends to run fairly smooth. Now, by that, you know, we all know in the HVAC industry, running fairly smooth is a little bit of controlled chaos.
I know you, and you're a kind human being, but from time to time in this business, we have to make hard decisions and have unpleasant conversations with people. In your case, you had to fire your mother, and I'd always find that a hilarious statement, but tell us about that.
I will do that. And Mom, in case you happen to be listening to this at some point, sorry. But no, at one point in our growth, we added a second location and we hired our mom to be the office manager in that location, and it didn't work out. This is in 2005, I believe. So that operation didn't work out. And so she was given the option to either go find a different job or come back to work in our main office, and she chose to do that. And then when she got back here, she was here about a year, and it got uncomfortable. There was tension in the office. And we couldn't get along. And there were things that she would do that we looked at as, okay, we wouldn't let a typical office person do that. So one springtime, she took about 6 weeks off to do some house remodeling. And the longer she was gone, her birthday fell in that time frame. And so we didn't even call her and tell her happy birthday. And we didn't go see her. And so the longer she was gone, the more we realized that this had became more toxic than we liked. And we decided that we had to make this change. So then we did the three vote rule, and it was 1-to-1-to-1. Everybody voted somebody else to go do it. So we kind of
voting on who had to go fire Mom.
Yeah. I mean, I voted Andy. Andy voted Adam. Adam voted me. And so we really didn't come to a conclusion on who was going to do it. So we drafted. We just finally came to, okay, Adam, you're the youngest. You have to do this. So we sent him to do it. Well, he didn't do it. And then one day I was just like, look, we got to get this done. So I called him. We went and sat down, and I tried to do it really well and, you know, tell her she got a promotion going back to being just mom. This really wasn't working for either one of us. Yeah, we tried that, and it was bad. It really was. In family business.
So all the management techniques didn't really prepare you for this. Is that what you're saying?
They did not. Nobody has a class on how to fire Mom. Now, I mean, you guys might want to do that sometime. But yeah, all the management stuff you go through doesn't teach you how to keep business and how to fire Mom. It worked out well. I mean, I had very little kids then, and we'd be at family functions, and they'd say, Grandma, why Daddy fire you? And I'm like, kids, stop. But it worked out well. I had a good friend of mine that owned an audiology business. She needed help. I said, hey, my mom would be great for you. They worked together for 12 years before my mom retired. And I mean, the family's good. We got past that little hiccup, but it was rough. I mean, she took it hard. It's never fun to get fired, especially when you get fired from your son. So
there's another lesson in that, and I've seen it happen, and I'm sure you've seen it as well. She went to another company, and she was wildly successful there. And you know, that happens so often. A person can be terrible at one company and tremendously successful at another company. And when you're asking someone to leave your company, really what you're doing is freeing them to go be successful somewhere else. And most of the time, it ends up working out well for them. So good for you. That's a particularly hard one, and I'm sorry to make light of it. I'm sure that was difficult at the time, but it is also a really great story.
We do laugh about it. Every now and then we bring it up, or she'll make a comment about me firing her, and we're able to laugh about it now. And that's a thing, and we've always prided ourselves in business is business and family is family. Don't ruin family relationships because of what you have to do in business. When we walk through that door and we put the uniform on every morning, we're here to serve people and serve an organization, and we can't do it from a selfish standpoint.
Well said. It's a good rule and a good lesson. You've had some spectacular growth since joining Service Nation Alliance, and you had good growth before then. What have you done to get this recent growth? What particular actions have you taken?
If you look at our history, we hit $2 million pretty quick, like 2011. And then we hovered from $2 million to $2.5 to $2.2 to $2.1. I mean, we just hovered in that range pretty consistently. And we've always had interest in business coaching. We've had a business coach since 2011. We've been mildly profitable since 2011. And as we grew, and when we bought Adam out, I had a different goal than he did. I'm a little bit more aggressive than he was. And I think I met you for the first time about 6 years ago in Indianapolis at a success day. And we had a decision on coaching then. And I wanted to go Service Nation Alliance side. He wanted to go to a different coaching. And we had pretty much committed to the other one. And so we went that way. And then when he left, I told Andy, I said, hey, I want to introduce you to Service Nation Alliance. So I brought him to a success day. He saw the benefit in it. So we joined in, I think, April of last year. And so since then, our growth has been about, you know, 22 to 24% month over month. And there's a couple of things that happened when we took this change is I got introduced to a bunch of guys that think a little bit different than I did, approach business a little bit different than I did, and are very hyper-focused on numbers. And we were always, we'll do what we do and the numbers will be what they are. Whereas when I got put into my AB group, it was, what are your numbers and what are you going to do to get there? You should know your numbers and strive to hit them, not just do what you're going to do and see what the numbers wind up. And so that's driven me to a different path, and we market a little bit different. We do a little bit more digital marketing. When we see we're going to fall short, we go at stuff a little bit more aggressively. So it's been a big focus and a big change. And one thing we did starting in, I think, August of last year is we wrapped all of our vehicles. We wrapped 13 vehicles. The marketing department at Service Nation Alliance designed us a really good vehicle wrap. So we went from the plain white.
Yeah, I've seen it. That's a beautiful vehicle. Yeah.
Yeah. As Matt calls it, a creeper van, to a fully wrapped fleet. That's made a big difference. One thing I really found great value in is the marketing department, the marketing team.
So you're talking about our content development team that puts together all the marketing and the other stuff for our members?
Yeah. I was working with High on our project, and his attention to detail on this, and anytime I'd make a suggestion, he would come back with exactly what I asked for. He even asked me one time for permission. He said, can I have permission to go outside the box and give you a couple designs for you to consider? And of course, I told him, sure, I'd be open to that. And then he sent me a couple very modern designs that did not fit within what I could say yes to. One of them, we joked around, looked like our van ran into a Pepsi can because he had red and blue. And I mean, it was pretty far out there. And I told him, I appreciate that, but that is a no for me. Now, when I would ask my 23, 24-year-olds in the building, they loved it. But it was just something that I'm like, I can't go that flamboyant at this stage in our career. So that was just a great experience with us because wrapping a vehicle I mean, the different shades of colors and designs and logos that you can do, and it's such a big investment and a permanent stamp that they really knocked it out of the park with that. So I really appreciated how well they did that.
Oh, that's so nice to hear.
It's been a good service, and we've used it for a few other things too. It's been a great resource for us. And that's such a needed thing with what we do, because we get so busy day to day doing the work of what we do that sometimes the marketing side, design side is something that we're just not well versed in.
Yeah, there's a lot of things in business that are like that. And it took me a long time to understand that I needed to consult experts, and it was worth paying them for their expertise, that they could just do something better than I could do. And it was easy for them, and they had spent time learning their skills and their trade, and it was better just to turn it over to the expert. The results of that have always, well, they've made my life better, and the results have been good. See, it's worked out well for you as well. What's the next big thing that you're looking forward to doing in the business?
Next big thing for us is we're looking at another location right now where we're located. We've kind of earmarked a section in the north of us and south of us to slowly add probably two more locations. We sat down with our team and set up a long-term goal of, you know, $15 million in 10 years is where we want to be. So we've kind of got that mapped out and what we have to do every year. So 2020 is kind of a refining process for us here. 2021, we're going to add a location either north or south, depending on market research that we'll do later in the year. And then 2022, we're going to build a building, move into it on the other side of town that can help us serve both areas. And so just focusing on numbers, we looked at our equipment brand and made some changes to that. And now we're actually looking into private labeling. And by the end of the year, we've had this conversation a couple times. I can see the next step for us will be private labeling of our own Reliable Comfort branded piece of equipment.
I think that'll go over well. That's a good move. And the members of Service Nation that have done that have uniformly done well with it. And I'm sure you will as well.
So that's kind of the long-term plans for us. And then every week, we're just adding and tweaking a little bit of stuff to continue growing. That's one thing that we've always focused on is continual growth. How can I get a little bit better each day? One thing I learned, 15 years ago, is I learned at a business seminar, when somebody's telling you an idea, use the phrase, "That's interesting, tell me more." Instead of, "Oh yeah, I know that." Even if it's something that I feel I'm well versed in, no matter what position somebody else takes, I'm like, "Well, that's interesting, tell me more." Because you can always expound on your own knowledge, or believe it or not, there's people out there that may do things different than the way we do that may be successful.
Yeah, I might learn something from somebody else. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, and with the best practices group that Service Nation Alliance is, there are so many guys out there that have had such good success, and they're so willing to share what they've learned that it's an infinite resource that you can always tap into. That no matter what struggle you're having, there's somebody there that's had it, and there's somebody that's willing to help you.
It really is a great group, smart people, and so kind and willing to share. It's fantastic. So rewind for just a second. So you want to be 15 million by what year?
It'll be 10 years, so 2030.
2030. That's a great goal, and I'm looking forward to it. You're absolutely going to make it. Well, Aaron, thank you so much for taking this time. I really appreciate it. It's always interesting to talk with you. And I know you're going to be at a couple of our success days in the near future, so I look forward to seeing you there as well.
I look forward to that, too. It'll be great. Thanks, David.
We're always looking for good ideas and interviews for our podcast. If you have an idea or maybe you think you should be interviewed, just shoot an email to profilesinprosperity@serviceroundtable.com. That's profilesinprosperity@serviceroundtable.com. If you think what we're doing has any value, it would be very helpful if you would give us a great rating on iTunes. Thanks for your support. Hope to see you again soon. Bye.